This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With seven drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. And epic journeys is what we're all about. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Armchair Explorer on location. Travel and adventure stories recorded in the field in the most immersive way possible, designed to give you a glimpse of what it feels like to be there for real. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey guys, cannot wait to share today's episode with you. It's something I've been working on for the last 8 months. I think it's some of the best work we've done here. And I absolutely love shouting about this place from the top of my lungs because I think it's one of the coolest places for adventure in America. The landscapes are unreal, and I literally mean that. They look unreal, like a surface of Mars in many places, and they're filled with 1 billion years of Earth's history, and they're covered by some of the darkest skies on the planet. We are going to Utah. So over the next few months, I'm going to share a 4-part series with you, all recorded on location and an amazing time doing it. We're going to be looking for Native American history, searching for something called Hajon. It's a Navajo word for a way of being. That's so cool. You're going to be really inspired by it. We're going to be listening to music by the campfire in Monument Valley. We're going to be digging up dinosaur bones. We're going to be touching Tyrannosaurus teeth, meeting someone called a Dark Ranger, and finding out about a concept called deep time that is going to blow your mind. But today we're focusing on adventure, and there was so much to cover, we split this episode into 2 parts. So the story of part one here is going to begin with me, more than a little nervous, about to do something kind of ridiculous, kind of amazing, and ultimately absolutely brilliant. That's coming up in a second, but quickly first, we tried out something new on this one. We built this story and this whole itinerary from scratch, but then turned it into a trip you can actually book and do yourself. So listen out at the end for how to do that, or just check out the link in the show notes. My Instagram is at Armchair Explorer Podcast. If you like this episode, let me know. And if you have any questions about planning your Utah adventure or how to do anything we talked about on the show, drop me a line. I would love to connect with you and talk travel and adventure. We're going to get on well. But for now, don't worry about any of that, because the adventure is about to begin. Okay, you're not going to believe where I am right now. I'm at the top of a ski jump, staring down a 50-foot drop into a pool. I'm at the Olympic Park in Park City. I don't know how I got here, but I'm in Utah. I'm here for adventure. And the thing about Utah is, it's not just any old adventure. It's adventure at the next level. This is Olympic level adventure, and you can only do this in Utah. This episode is all about uniquely Utah adventures. Are you ready to come with me? Wish me luck. Welcome to episode 1 of our elevated Utah road trip. My name's Aaron Miller, I'm a travel writer and the host of this series, and today we're going to be exploring adventures that are uniquely Utah. We're going to dangle microphones in hand from slot canyons, we'll race down berms with a pro mountain biker, live out my ultimate Western fantasy from the saddle of one very naughty mule, and at the very end, we'll return to the Olympic Training Center in Park City, where that mammoth ski jump is about to test the limits of my adventurous spirit yet again. But we're going to start our journey on a winding road, looking down into one of the most awe-inspiring fly fishing canyons in the world. This is beautiful. Where are we heading now, Ryan?
So we're heading down to Flaming Gorge Reservoir here in the Flaming Gorge National Recreation Area.
This is Ryan Kelly. He's been known as one of the best fly fishing guides on the Green River for more than two decades.
We're going to drive across the dam and then drop 500 vertical feet to the water. And we're going to float right below the dam for about 7 miles. It's one of the most famous stretches of fly fishing water on the planet. But it's also a unique place in that it can totally handle the pressure. The population varies tremendously, but it generally stays somewhere around 10,000 fish per mile, give or take, which is generally significantly more than most of the other famous rivers in the world. So it's unique that way.
That's going to make me feel so bad when I don't catch a fish now, knowing that there's like 10,000 underneath me.
Yeah, when you realize how many don't eat your fly. Yeah, I've often said if you catch one out of 100, you go by, you're going to have a really great day. A lot of people refer to this section as the aquarium because you're often staring at fish. So, yeah, when they don't care that you exist or your lure or your fly doesn't exist, don't feel bad. We're just playing a numbers game.
Flaming Gorge is unique because of the amount of zooplankton, the food that fish feed on, which means not only are they ridiculously abundant, the prize trout that you're going to pull out here will also be some of the biggest you'll ever catch. It is consistently voted one of the top five fishing destinations in the world, and it is beautiful. As we arrive at the dock and put in the boat, the water sparkles like crystal in the morning sun.
Let's put you in the front.
Okay. Well, where are you going to be?
I will be in the middle unless one of you guys want to row.
Middle for you?
I just saw you row and I don't want to compete with that. Yeah. Unless you like to see boats go around in circles.
Yes, yeah. I have seen more of those in my life than I need to. Yeah.
We set off, Ryan expertly rowing us into the fast-moving river, while I look nervously at the choppy water ahead. That's right, this isn't your average float and chill. This is white water fishing.
We'll go through seven rapids.
Oh yeah?
Official rapids.
What about unofficial?
In which there'll be lots of little rapids like this, but we will try not to get the recording equipment wet.
Where does the name Flaming Gorge come from?
So Flaming Gorge was named by John Wesley Powell, gave it that name when he was doing his expedition back in 1869.
Coming through mapping all the way.
Yep. So they launched basically where the top of the reservoir is now, called Expedition Island, in the town of Green River, Wyoming. And then shortly after that, the river runs into the reservoir. At this point, in about 25 miles upstream from the dam, or up lake now in this case, you go through a gorge that's really orangey red, where right now we kind of have more red, like almost like raw meatish, or like half cooked meat maybe. Right. It's more medium rare in here. It's much more of like a flame color in that, through that stretch.
Well, we're getting our flames from the beautiful aspen trees in the full colors here.
Yeah, we've got some good yellows down here, a few reds along some of the brush here, and we've got a bit of a stiff headwind at the moment.
I'd just like to say that this is no obstacle-free river. We've been expertly dodging massive boulders in the water.
This is our producer and occasional cackler in the background, Jason Patton.
Oh, that's funny. Because we're in the easy part. That's for sure. You know, that's one thing about this river. It's not a novice river for beginning oarsmen. You'll see boats go down in here at least a handful a year that will get flipped and go down. One went down yesterday, so we still might see it. All right, we're going to shoot downstream a little bit farther here
this
before we fish.
This rapid looks kind of serious.
As kids, we called it drop-off rapid because it has this quick drop right here.
Oh, boy.
You could get in trouble if you went right through these center rocks. You can kind of see this first wave.
This looks really exciting.
Oh, my God.
All right, we got a 360 in.
Thank you. This episode of Armchair Explorer is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. And Pathfinder, that's a pretty cool name, isn't it? Because that's also what this show is all about. Exploring, getting off trail, having adventures, finding your own path, and living life to the fullest. Sound like you? Yep, sounds like me too. Which is why I'm so excited to partner with Nissan. The 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has 7 drive modes, available intelligent 4x4. It's got the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds. So go ahead and bring all that gear with you and lots more. The 2024 Nissan Pathfinder, a vehicle built for adventures everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I kind of view fly fishing, I kind of break it down into 4 categories.
Okay.
So you have casting, and then mending, and then stripping, and setting the hook. So we have our cast, right? And then a mend, you're going to point, in this case, at that little white ball, white bobber, strike indicator, as fly fishermen call it. And we're going to draw a circle upstream or downstream. So kind of like you have a paintbrush in your hand, we're just going to draw that circle. And see how that gets it drifting again. If I don't do anything now, it's gonna tighten the line and it's starting to drag. So the line goes in these fingers, you pull underneath there till you have tension, and then they're gonna come back apart, up. Wait till you feel the weight get behind you.
Okay.
Okay, let's try this. Go ahead and cast it straight at the shore right there. So that's what's called going cross pocket.
This is so fun. I'm drifting along. I've got my like leg locked in here. Dude, this is great.
Okay, gonna cast again.
Okay, take my time.
Yep, yes, there we go.
Woo. I'm actually surfing through rapids and fishing all at the same time.
Hang on, there's a boat that we gotta go around. Brad's talking about sunken boats.
Oh my god, there's an actual boat.
Yep, wasn't expecting that.
Whoa!
I looked up, I'm like, that's not usually there. Okay, let's go right side there again. All right.
That was much more patient. Yep. You didn't have to throw so hard on the front side.
Okay. Yep. Just let it kind
let
of
the flow. Let the rod do the work. I always say fly irons cost $1,000 for a reason. Lift up. You got a fish on.
Okay.
Okay. You're gonna lift the rod straight to the sky, and just relax.
Okay.
We're gonna start.
I got
to
a fish on.
Yep. We're gonna start to strip. Okay. Yes.
Oh, he's pulling now.
Yeah. He's pulling hard. So just take your time. We're gonna let the boat wear him out a little bit.
There he is.
She'll rod to the sky, point right in the sky. That's what softens the blow.
Oh, he's pulling.
See, he's coming at you, so now you gotta strip faster.
Okay.
Then he's gonna go hard again in a second, so be ready for that.
Here we go, he's going hard.
Yep.
Oh, he's pretty clever, aren't they? He's kinda going for it.
Goes faster.
Oh, God, it's going the other way now.
Okay, that's okay, we're gonna drift with him. If he pulls really hard, just let him have a little bit of line.
There we go. I just saw him pop up.
Yep, okay, you're just, one more strip. Start to lift over my head.
Look at that! Oh, come on!
Try to do it nice and smooth.
Woo! I did it! All right, first fish. Yes!
Oh,
that's a pretty good one.
Sometimes it takes more than 5 minutes to get your first one.
All right.
So this is a brown trout.
Okay.
Wow. On there.
That's pretty good, isn't it? What does that like?
Yeah. It's about 17 inches.
16, 17
So you
inches.
Literally caught average.
Hey, I'll take that. I'll take average. And that is huge.
Hey, keep him in the water if you would.
Okay. Yeah, there you go, good little guy. Big guy. Yes! Oh man, that was so fun. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for the tips there.
You're welcome.
Next, it's time to give Jason a try.
Go now. You got fish on there.
Oh, I said that one run.
And another try.
Go.
I tried to be quick, Ed.
Yeah,
come.
You were quick.
And another try.
Go. Oh, shucks.
And another try.
You got him. That's fish. Lift up. Oh. Lift up. Oh.
And another try.
Oh, got him. Oh,
I missed him. I felt it.
Yeah, you were there for a second.
Until eventually.
There you go. Let Rod up. Let him run.
Look at you. All right. That one's real average.
Okay, bring it over, Yad.
God, Jason.
That's all right. We'll take it.
All right.
It's you.
There you go.
Catching fish, especially in a place as beautiful as Flaming Gorge, is a lot of fun, and even more so when you beat your producer at doing it. But ultimately, that's not what it's all about.
You know, everyone fishes for a different reason. You know, some people like the adrenaline aspect, the anticipation of catching it. For a lot of folks, and you'll see, you know, like talking about the film, Mending the Line, which is about a soldier with PTSD. One, you're making a lot of decisions when you're fishing, and it kind of takes your mind off your problems,
yeah,
or challenges or whatever it is. I just think connecting with nature also just helps give clarity. And I think it gives you the opportunity to kind of escape those things that are maybe cluttering life.
What a magical place. Thank you so much for taking us here. Look at the sun on the canyon walls there.
Just lit up.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Caught my first fish, too. How was it? Big again? 3 feet? Something like that?
7 feet?
Yeah. A 40-pounder, wasn't it? Something like that?
You know, I'll leave the measurement up to you on that one.
We pull the boat from the water as the sun sinks below the glowing cliffs of Flaming Gorge. I came here for fun, but I left with something else too. Seeing that river, those firewalls looming over sparkling water now shadowed in dusk is beautiful. But riding it, casting it, immersing myself in it offered something more. Ryan was right. The river washes your mind clean. It forces you to let go of all that busyness back in the real world, hundreds of feet above on the canyon rim. From Flaming Gorge, we drive 3 hours west to Park City, perhaps the quintessential mountain town nestled at the base of the legendary Park City Ski Resort. And we're gonna head up onto those slopes now, but for a different kind of downhill experience. While fishing was all about quieting the mind through that myopic, addictive activity, where we're headed next is all about flow.
Someone might call me a risk taker, but yeah. I look at it more as a risk manager.
Right.
So I understand what the risks are, yeah, and then I address all of them.
This is Park City local Eric Porter, a professional mountain biker who has taken the podium in just about every type of mountain biking contest you can imagine.
I used to call it turning off my brain.
Yeah.
Which I learned now is flow state, right? Turn off the parts of your brain you don't need so you can focus on what matters to landing the run, yeah, or the trick.
Tell me what that's like, because I've read about flow state, but it's this kind of like mythical state, isn't it? What is that?
Yeah, it's basically your focus narrows to where like nothing else matters. It almost like slows things down.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's what everybody chases, that once you've felt it, you know, it has a lot of things that play into getting that started. One of them is when your skill set meets the challenge. So if it's not challenging enough for your skills, then you're not gonna kind of end up there, but it's where you kind of have to,
right,
get into that mindset.
The flow state is a well-documented psychological phenomenon reported by many athletes. We might call it getting in the zone. When you're in it, nothing can stop you. Things that usually require incredible amounts of skill are suddenly effortless and easy. In mountain biking, the flow state is everything. Obstacles come quickly, turns and berms spill into jumps and bumps around every bend. You have to anticipate what's coming. You have to ride without fear. And to do this, more than anything else, you have to be completely and utterly in the moment. Park City is the perfect place to find your flow. There are more than 450 miles of mountain biking trails from beginner to insane. We start out on an intermediate route, riding out of town and straight onto a seriously steep climb to the top of Jenny's Trail, one of Eric's favorite rides. Adventure in Utah is such a big part of what the state is, why people live here and why people come here. But like, what is it about it that you're chasing in adventure? Because people say adrenaline, that's maybe part of it, but it seems like there's more to it than that.
Some might think you're chasing the thrill of the jump or the speed of going fast, but it's more that the feeling that's associated with that, you know, of, you know, the stakes are high. You've kind of pushed your chips in. There's something on the line.
Yeah.
And then your skill set meeting up with that.
Yeah.
So that you can overcome that.
Yeah.
And it feels really good.
Do you find knowing this place through riding it for so many years, you have a sort of deeper appreciation for it, for having experienced it in this kind of really immersive way?
Yeah, absolutely. There's still trails I haven't ridden here, and I live here.
That's crazy.
And there's, and the state of Utah as a whole, I mean, we've been here for almost 20 years now, and there's still places I haven't been that are pretty high on my list and really cool places.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm, it's kind of a never ending
pursuit.
Yeah. You can live here your whole life and still not check off the whole list.
And there's something really satisfying and nice about that, isn't there?
Right.
Yeah. You're never going to reach the end. You're just going to keep going deeper.
It's hard to get bored here.
Yeah.
It's really hard to
if
be bored.
If you get bored here, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You guys had this like great interview going, and you just hear us like panting up in the distance.
Yeah, sorry, I literally forgot we were recording. I was like, oh my God, that was crazy.
This is producer Jenny Allison. No, not the Jenny our trail is named after, sadly. Our Jenny just flew into Park City, elevation 7,000 feet, and immediately joined our uphill ride. Straight up?
We're actually going to go down from here.
Down?
Yeah, we've done it.
Yes!
Just in time, too, because it's starting to rain a little bit.
This is the top.
Yeah, so as we go down here, this is CMG. Which is, it's actually short for Crescent Mine Grade. So this was an old mining grade that they used to go up and get the ore and old mining road. Now it's turned into a really fun downhill trail.
Nice.
It's got just a nice mix of kind of classic single track downhill with some roots and rocks.
Okay.
And then as we get a little bit further down, there's berms and rollers and gets a little bit more playful. The faster you're going, the further out you need to look.
Okay.
And same with corners, kind of looking through the corner.
Right.
And looking on down the trail keeps you away from the trees too. It's the same theory as tree skiing. If you look at the tree, you're gonna hit it.
Yeah.
If you look through the trees, you're gonna find that route. You wanna kind of break evenly front and back. You don't wanna skid, because if you're skidding, you're not slowing down anymore really.
Right.
You've broken traction. And you wanna get your braking done before the corner. Always
that's a great tip.
Lean uphill if you, when in doubt.
I don't know, there will be doubt.
The other reason why we slow down first and we try to minimize how much braking we're doing in the corner is that if we're braking and we're cornering, we're asking these little rubber knobs without brains to do two things at once.
Right.
You know, we're telling them to slow us down and keep us from sliding out to the side.
Okay, yeah.
So you want to minimize the things you're asking your tires to do. So if you slow down first, then their only job is to keep you from sliding out.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. You got me a few tips here, and I'm staring downhill. I think the look downhill is looking pretty good to me now. I've earned it with my own two legs, pedal by pedal, stroke by stroke, and now I'm getting to cruise a bit.
Yeah, that's the best part about the cross-country riding is you paid the toll on the way up, you feel good, and now you get to cruise and get the payoff on the way down.
I don't know if you paid the toll. I paid the toll. Like, you weren't even out of breath. My legs have definitely paid the toll, but I'm ready to cash in. So should we go for a ride?
Yeah, just...
I'll follow you down.
You know,
well, I say I'll follow you down. I'll be about 2,000 feet behind you somewhere.
Yeah. No, I think just remember to stay loose.
Yeah.
When you tense up and you get scared, that's when the problems happen. If you stay loose and kind of flow with it, right?
You know when you say that, it's like, don't think of a pink elephant, right? I'm definitely gonna tense up. No, I'm not. I got this.
Yeah, right.
All right, downhill. Here we go.
Let's go.
Here we go. Okay. Nice flowy turn into the open valley. Woo! Wildflowers! This is just my kind of biking. Slowy. Oh, body section. Oh my God, I almost came off there. Woo! Come on! Eric's doing wheelies down this.
The best part about this stuff is jumping around on the trail, even making jumps out of nothing.
Yes! Breaking into the corner, leaning, stand loose, commit. Whoa! All right, I'm good. Got this, Aaron. Got this.
I think the best way to describe that section of trail is like a roller coaster.
It really is. Hot city! Whoa! Here we go!
Close, but not too close, right? Woo!
All right, caught up with Eric. Oh! Yeah.
This is so fun.
That is nice.
Yeah, you're just ripping down that.
That's my kind of trail. I totally get what you mean about the flow state. Like, I don't think I hit it there, but I can see where if you just get the balance right, because there was a couple of those bank turns where I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just gonna commit to it and go for it.
Yeah.
And that is such a buzz. But in that moment of going for it, it's just like, that's all there is, right?
You know,
that's all there is in that moment.
Yeah, nothing, job, home life, like nothing else. No, there's no stress.
There is no to-do list when you're riding that trail, other than stay on, hold on, stay on.
Yep. Yeah, and the better you get, the more fun it is, because you're less stressed about hitting the ground, right?
Yeah.
You're more just having fun, and then you start to, you know, choose your own adventure, and you see little transitions here or there that you can jump off of, and
so cool.
It's really never ending.
God, this is such a great trail. All right. Woo, let's go.
All right.
There's a thunder.
Let's go.
We ride the rest of the way down, each in our own style. Eric on the rim of each berm, popping wheelies between every jump. Jason feeling the need for speed and desperately trying to keep up. Jenny making her own way down carefully and deliberately, which maybe I should have tried. Whoa!
Oh! Oh!
You all right?
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay.
That's what happens when your skill level doesn't match up to the challenge. But that's okay. The flow state doesn't always come easy, nor always last long. What's important is how you get there. And it made me think, if Flaming Gorge was about relaxing the mind, this was about focusing it, using adventure as a doorway into the present moment, and then passing through that doorway into the zone. Thank you for joining me on our Utah Life Elevated road trip. We've got two other episodes in the series, including the second half of this one. And if you can't wait to hear them, don't blame you. Search up Utah Life Elevated wherever you get your shows. And remember, you too can experience everything we've done in this episode. How cool is that? Including, believe it or not, the Olympic ski jump, if you dare. Just go to visitutah.com for ideas and inspiration on booking your next trip. Or if you're interested in booking this whole thing as a package with lots of other cool stuff built in from the rest of the series, you can do that too. Just go to americansky.co.uk and search up Utah on there and you're going to find it. Or just click the link in the show notes. We built the whole itinerary from scratch based on everything we did. And let me tell you, I had an awesome time and I think you will too. A big thank you also to visittheusa.com, who partnered with us on this show and helped make it possible. They are the USA's official travel and tourism organization. They're a top-notch resource for all things American travel. But what I really appreciate about them is the way they inspire visitors to explore deeper into the country, not just those places that are top of your list when you think about America, but some of those other places, some places that you might not have heard about that much. But once you do, you're never going to forget. Places like this, places like Utah. So follow them on social at Visit the USA. They are on YouTube. They got an awesome YouTube, actually. They've even made a couple of IMAX movies, which are worth checking out. They're also on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and all the usual suspects. And that website, again, is visittheusa.com. Thank you to everyone who featured in this episode. Fly fisherman Ryan Kelly at Flaming Gorge, and of course, pro mountain biker Eric Porter at Park City. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for more. Next time, we'll be digging up the dinosaurs below our boots in the land of unicorns and rainbows. You'll see what I mean. And exploring the mind-bending concept of deep time in the uniquely dark Utah skies. So hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your shows. You're not going to want to miss any of this. This series was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry. Brian Thacker led our pre-production, Jenny Allison was our infield producer, Jason Patton recorded, mixed, and sound designed the episode and wrote it, along with your host, that's me, Aaron Miller. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to this Armchair Explorer on location episode. I had a ton of fun making it. I hope you had a ton of fun coming along with me. Next week, we'll be back with our usual format, and then there'll be lots more on location stuff to come.